Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be learning the 30th chapter, Perek Lamed of Sefer Yirmiyahu. This Perek is quite unusual in terms of what Yirmiyahu has been doing up till now. Yirmiyahu has generally been warning people, been guiding people, been prophesizing doom. This is one of the prophecies of actually return. This is a Nechama, in a certain sense, a prophecy of comfort, which is quite unusual for Yirmiyahu. There's a few sections in this perek as he talks about different parts of the comfort. A bunch of the perek is going to be focusing on the reprimanding or perhaps the meeting out of punishment that God is going to be doing on behalf of Israel to the nations. And the other part of the perek seems to be talking about the restoration of Yerushalayim. So let's just break down the perek basically. The first little section, the first really main section is about the prophecy of return, which starts on Pasuk Aleph, really going through Gimel. You can extend it a little further. Actually, all the way till Tess. And the basic premise is that Yirmiyahu is told to write down a book, Ksav Lecha Es HaDvarim Asher Dibarti Elecha El Sefer. You're supposed to write down this book, that in the end of the days, I'm going to return Yisrael and Yehuda, I'm going to bring them all back to their land, and this is what you should tell them. This is what Hashem has said. There's going to be this terrifying time, there's going to be this sound of terror, which is going to be coming, and everybody's going to be asking, did you see the child being born, the male child? Why is it that they're shaking like a woman in childbirth? And then he goes on to describe that this day is so terrifying, so scary, that everybody's going to be terrified at V'avdu es Hashem Elokeihem, es David Malkom, Asher Akim Lohem, and everybody's going to serve David. Very confusing. What's really going on over here? But before we get to the details, just one little more, last little sort of paragraph in this, running from Yud to Yud Aleph, is where he says, "Don't worry, Israel. When you see this, Al Tira Avdi Yaakov, don't fear this. Ki itcha ani ne'um Hashem lo hishiyecha. I'm with you to save you. I'm going to make sure that you're going to be all right." So let's just appreciate what's going on over here. What is Yirmiyahu doing? First of all, this is unique in the sense that this is not a prophecy that Yirmiyahu is being told to tell people. This is a prophecy he's being told to write. Now we're going to see in the next few prakim that Yirmiyahu is going to write down a few things for posterity. But already now the Malbim points out that this tells us something unique about this prophecy. And that is perhaps the target audience is not the generation he's speaking to. Maybe the target audience is actually the people who are going to read this, what he calls the Dor Acharon, the people who are going to be in Galus, and they're going to need this message of Chizuk then. That's what seems to be the target audience, which is why it's written and not transcribed orally, not transmitted orally. That's the way the Malbim looks at it, which gives us a bit of a bigger perspective. Now, there's this strange imagery in Pasuk Vav, of this son, this birth of a son. You're going to be asking, is it a son who's born? Why is the man shaking and trembling like in childbirth? What's this referring to? So the Malbim is a very creative suggestion, very interesting suggestion, where the Malbim says that what's happening over here is just as, and perhaps resentfully so, but when a child is conceived, when it comes time for the birth, the father's not the one suffering. Despite all the jokes that dads make that they're all right after childbirth, they're not going through the real trial and the pain and the suffering of childbirth, right? So what he's saying to Israel, you're going to be in the land of Babel, and you're going to start seeing Babylon collapsing around you. You're going to see the whole country being turned upside down and terrible suffering. Understand that you're the reason for that, but you're not going to be suffering in it. So he's telling them that, so to speak, you're going to be witnessing the sort of childbirth process as Babel's going to be destroyed, but you're not going to be hurting from it. That's the sort of imagery, the way the Malbim sees it. It is interesting that this is all in the line of the Malbim talking about this future redemption. However, the Abarbanel pays more attention to the fact that there seems to be a lot of destruction which is being destroyed over here. Even though it's a prophecy which seems to be talking about Nechama, there's a lot of suffering and pain that's going on over here. And he says, actually, you know what's going on over here? Completely different to the way the Malbim looks at it. He said, we're talking about the apocalypse. We're talking about the war of Gog and Magog. And what's this war going to look like? So the Abarbanel actually wrote a sefer called Ma'ane Yeshua about the future redemption, which was very much on the minds of Jews at the time that he lived. He actually quotes us an excerpt of it here in this parak. The Abarbanel, just to contextualize this, is living at the end of the 1400s in Portugal, then Spain, And he was the second most senior Jew in all of Spain as a tax farmer, as a tax collector, and negotiated with Ferdinand and Isabella within the short four-month period they had to try to reverse the expulsion edict. Unsuccessfully so, and he in fact left most of his wealth to be able to go into exile, even though he was offered clemency if he were to convert or under certain conditions. The Abarbanel, and just to appreciate this, in Catholicism at this point in time, as Isabella and Ferdinand cleansed Spain of the Moors in the south and the Jews across the country, there were two things going on. It wasn't just the Jews. The Jews had the Inquisition, or the conversos had the Inquisition and the expulsion, but this came after, it was actually fueling the battle efforts in the south to eradicate Islam in the south of Spain. And around this time, there was this sense of almost as if Christianity would take over the globe again. This crusade across the Iberian Peninsula was seen as, the reincarnation of the of some of the saints of Christianity through Isabella, and there was a moment, almost a messianic moment, moving towards the year 1500, which was seen as a year where perhaps there would be the ultimate crusade on Jerusalem. So there was this notion of this movement towards Jerusalem, where Catholicism would, or Christianity at this point, would take over all of the world and certainly the Holy City once again. It's in the Abarbanel references this explicitly in his Perushia, where he says the war of Gog and Magog will be when Christianity seeks to destroy Jerusalem and the Muslims will come from the east to fight back, and that onslaught which would happen and the slaughter which will occur in the middle of that will be the war of Gog and Magog. And this is what Jeremiah is describing now, this apocalyptic war in which the Jews will be saved from. So he's reassuring the Jews that there'll be this terrible moment, but you'll be safe from it. This is important just sort of as the general backdrop of the Perek. One just beautiful pasuk which is worthwhile taking a note from when reading this pasuk is when he reassures us that it'll be all right. He says, "V'eis tzara hi liYaakov." It'll be a difficult time for Yaakov, for the nation of Israel. "Umimeno yivoshea," but from it you'll be saved. Which is actually one of the Hasidic masters, the Ma'ore Naim, says that from the very pain itself will be the crucible of salvation. Even though we'll go through terrible suffering in the Golos, that will be the crucible for our greatest growth. You'll also notice Rabbi Binyamin now points out that in this section, the object of this prophecy is no longer Yehuda or the Malchei Yehuda, just the specific tribe of Yehuda in the south, but it's all of Yisrael, it's all of Yaakov. It is more global. We're talking about a bigger picture than what we're thinking about beforehand. Okay, the next section, with Yirmiyahu now in Yud Beis to Yud Zayin, starts describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to try to extract Israel, try to help and defend them against the people who hurt them. And in this section, he uses an odd metaphor. He says that Ein don dineich lemazor rufu ois ta'ala ein loch. You know, the medications aren't working on you. The Malbim means is that sometimes you can have a person who needs certain medications, but their body is too frail to accept the side effects of that medication. It's too harsh for the body. So the Malbim says is that you, Israel, require a very hard course of antibiotics, which is the prophets telling you what you need to do, but your body is too weak to accept it because you don't believe in the prophets in the first place, so you're not able to get the necessary dosage of medication from the prophets that you're supposed to be hearing, which is your problem. But nonetheless, Hashem says he is still allowing them back. Finally, the last section of this parak really focuses on the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. It runs from Yud Ches to Chofei. And in almost a repeated section, he talks about how Hashem is going to bring back the Simcha to Yerushalayim. And you're going to be my nation, I'm going to be to you as a king. And he describes in explicit terms that this is all going to happen when you're going to consider this at the end of the days, which the Abarbanel points out, shows you that this is not specifically a 70-year, 10-year prophecy. It's not just about the specific Babylonian issue that they're having right now, but it's actually about the bigger future, the bigger Achres Hayamim. One halachic tidbit, which is worthwhile to take away, and we'll close with this, is that this perek is actually one of the sources for what we call Zecher LeMikdash, remembering the Mikdash. The Gemara in Sukkah and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, based on the pasuk over here in Yud Zayin, in this parak, it says, "Ki ale aruka loch umemakosayach erpoeich nu'um Hashem." Hashem says he's going to bring healing to Yerushalayim ultimately. "Ki nidacha karu loch," because they call you pushed aside, Yerushalayim. "Tzionhi, you are Zion, doresh ein la." Nobody's seeking you out. So the Gemara darshans from here, Doresh Ein La, there's nobody seeking out Zion, Mechlal Daboy Drisha. It implies that somebody should be seeking out Yerushalayim, and in that vein, we have certain things we do, and one of the examples is we shake the lulav all 7 days of the Chag, which was only done at the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. In the rest of the world, it was done just for one day, and we do that as a Zecher HaMikdash. Where do we learn that out from? Yirmiyahu was telling us from this pasuk as well. So there's a lot of hope over here. And that's what the Radak says, is after all these prophecies of doom, Yirmiyahu is ensuring that it's not just doom, there is an end in sight, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.